Our scripture lesson has already been read, 1 Corinthians 13, and the problem with love, or what makes it is 1 Corinthians 13 difficult, is Romans chapter 12 says your love must be sincere. If we could just pass off insincere love, it would be a breeze, wouldn't it? But the kind of love that's talked about here is life-changing, and it's a love that doesn't happen apart from the power of the Holy Spirit. We need to be surrendered and in tune and filled with the Spirit in order to be able to live the kind of life, the kind of love that it talks about in 1 Corinthians 13. From the time of Moses right down to the time when Jesus ministered, so it's about 1,500 years, the focal point of worship of God Almighty, the God of this universe, was the tabernacle or the temple. That was supposed to be the place that would be the heart of worship. And when Jesus came, God's only Son, God in the flesh, when he came to the place that was the heart of worship, he was rejected at the very heart of worship. That's a terrible twist of things. And we've been studying 1 Corinthians, and there have been all sorts of things that they've had fighting and problems about in Corinth. And just last week we looked at spiritual gifts, and God gives us each different spiritual gifts in order that we might be a blessing to others. So the purpose that we're given our gifts is not for ourselves, but for other people. And chapter 13 talks about the fact that if we use our spiritual gifts to hurt other people, it's like Jesus coming to the temple and instead of being worshipped, being rejected. If we take that good thing that God has given us and we use it for selfish purposes, it becomes corrupted and destructive. For instance, I imagine that I have a sense of humor. And I can tell you, particularly as a teenager, I used my sense of humor in as much as I could to hurt people. Particularly girls, but I would just hurt anybody I could with my sense of humor. And that is a destructive use of something that God has given me. And all of the good things that we have, you may have the gift of administration, and God put you in a position of authority. And someone might say, why don't we try this instead of that? And you might say, I've got the gift of administration. I'm running the show. And then our gift becomes destructive. And if you look at what Galatians chapter 5 says about the sinful nature, it pretty well sums up everything. It's a summary of all the problems they've talked about in the church at Corinth. The acts of the sinful nature are obvious: sexual immorality, impurity, debauchery, idolatry, witchcraft, hatred, discord, jealousy, fits of rage, selfish ambition, dissensions, factions, and envy, drunkenness, orgies, and the like. I warn you, as I did before, that those who live like this will not inherit the kingdom of God. So you could say that all of the problems that have been discussed in the church at Corinth have been a result of people living in the flesh, because so many of those problems are named as fruit of the flesh in Galatians chapter 5. Whereas the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, goodness, faith, gentleness, meekness, and temperance. And if we're going to effectively follow Christ, there has to be an ongoing surrender of ourself and a love that is a biblical love. And we try to operate our Christianity without love, it takes something good and mix it with something bad. And she's not here this morning. She's up at her folks' church. But Jessica Dobson asked me never to do my hair sandwich again for a children's story. Any of you remember the hair sandwich? Yeah, she said, please don't. I put peanut butter on bread, and I got one of Emily's combs, and I combed some of the hair out of that, and I put it on the peanut butter, and I don't think anybody liked the look of that. That when we take something good and we infuse it with selfishness, it becomes something bad. Now, I think it's important when we look at this chapter to differentiate between or make a distinction between what the world calls love and biblical love. And for those of you that have been here forever, you'll have heard this illustration. It's still my best illustration for worldly love. This little girl, I was on a youth retreat back when I was pastoring in Rhode Island, and our church and another church, we got a bus together, and we rode to do a winter camp out. And the camp was in western Massachusetts, and they had one of the staff were taking the campers on snowmobile rides. And his name was Mark, and he was a college student. And we had one girl on our bus whose name was Jen. And Jen got a snowmobile ride. I happened to be standing by and watch the kids line up. I happened to see her get on the snowmobile. The guy's name was Mark. And when she got on the snowmobile, she hung on like this. She was hanging on for dear life. That was the last day of the retreat. And I got on the bus, and Jen got on the bus early, and she's writing in the frost on the windows, Jen, Hart, Mark. Every window, Jen, Hart, Mark. And I said, Jen, what's that mean? She said, you know. I said, well, what does it mean? Does it mean love? She said, yeah. I said, so what's love? She said, you know. I know what I think love is, but what do you think it is? She said, you know. I said, is it a warm feeling? She said, yeah. I said, is it a sweet feeling? She said, yeah. Is it like a warm, sweet feeling like hot cocoa? She said, yeah. With marshmallows in it? She said, yeah. That's our world's definition of love. Love is a feeling first. Contrast that with the description of love that we have here. Love in the Bible is an action first. It says, love is patient, love is kind. It does not envy, it does not boast, it is not proud. It does not rude, it's not self-seeking, it's not easily angered, it keeps no record of wrongs. Love does not delight in evil, but rejoices in the truth. It always protects, always trusts, always hopes, always perseveres. Love never fails. And the reason our culture is in such terrible shape is that it has bought the idea that love is a feeling first. Love is a feeling first. And people are looking at their feelings all the time to try to figure out if they love somebody. And if they feel the feelings, then they might treat people some good, might treat them well, or they might not. But the focus is the feeling. Okay? Now, it's my contention that there are feelings that come with biblical love sometimes. Sometimes they're feelings. Sometimes it's just faithfulness. Sometimes the feelings that with biblical love are not good feelings. It says, biblical love says, love is patient. You know what you have to exercise patience? Someone's got to be irritating you. So love is irritated, but has made a decision. I'm going to be patient. For instance, look out, Noel. If Noel and I and Emily are watching a scary movie, there are times, you know, nobody's ever supposed to go down cellar in a scary movie. Did you know that? You already know that. It's not supposed to be. And so you know something bad's going to happen. Plus, they start playing that scary music. And when they get about halfway down the stairs, I'll go, ha! And you're saying, you know, Russell, you're bugging me. That bugs Noel. Do you believe that? That's my... Now, I've matured a lot. All right, you smarty pants. How many of you have ever pushed someone off the dock? Raise your hand. Yeah. Okay, yeah. Or off the end of the pool, you've pushed. There's my people. You're my people, okay? We all irritate somebody once in a while. Now, worldly love will say, I'm irritated with that person. I don't love them. Isn't that what worldly love would say? They'd say, something's gone out of our marriage. He's irritating me. Eating cornflakes and bread in bed. How am I supposed to stand that? But I'll say that you need to be comforted about that. Because the Bible says, love is patient. Love is patient. So you say, and I'm not telling on her, but I'll say this, Noelle does some things that irritates me. She doesn't know what it is because I'm so patient. It's different than the world saying, we'll be married so long as we both shall love. Have you ever heard that garbage in marriage ceremonies? We'll be married as long as it's convenient. As long as my feelings point this way. You know what it takes to change my feelings? A good cup of coffee and I'm a new man. All it does, my feelings go like this and like that. But God's love, He's decided to love us. And sometimes He's irritated with us real bad. Because sometimes we know the right thing. Sometimes we know the right thing, but we choose the wrong thing. It says love is kind. That means that person that we're with, they do something stupid. And we could underline it. And we could highlight it. Or we could do all sorts of unkind things. Gaslight people. Or just move their reading glasses. That's a wicked thing. There are all sorts of things that we could do that are unkind. And people that are married, the longer you've been married, the more you know about someone's inner self, unguarded self, the more power you have to hurt people. And what love does, it says, I'm going to be kind. When they're most vulnerable. Now, I'll tell you something. The world will have infatuations, and I'm sure that Jen, my friend on the bus, she had lots of more crushes than just Mark, because somehow that's part of being 13, Sorry, all you 13-year-olds, but it's tough being 13 because your emotions really go way up and really go way down. But God has given us this instruction on how to care for each other. And you cannot sustain loving feelings if you don't live this way with the people around you. You won't have sparks all the time, no matter what you do. But I am here to testify, you'll have more sparks if you're living a biblical love than you will if you're not living biblical love. You will quench any kind of feelings that there are if you're not patient and you're not kind, if you're not supportive, if you envy, if you boast against each other, if you're rude to each other or self-seeking. You will kill whatever feelings you had a chance to have. Now, people have said to me during my ministry, people have come to talk to me about their marriage. And I remember 40 years ago when I was just a young minister, this lady came to me and she said, I don't want to be married to this guy, I want to be married to this guy. She said, I don't love him anymore, and I love him. I said, well, 1 Corinthians 13 tells you how to love him. She said, I don't want to love him anymore, because I've already fallen in love with him. I work beside this other guy, and they worked in the fish plant together, cleaning fish, 8 hours a day, one table next to the other. She said, I'm with him every day, all day long. I can't help myself. I have to love him. I said, quit your job. Quit your job. People that say, I don't love her anymore. I don't love him anymore. That's a confession. And there is in that a call to repentance. And repentance doesn't just mean change. It means change the way you think. Metanoia. Change your mind and understand that love is an action. And I've got to start treating this person, that person. I've got to start treating them with kindness and with respect. And I've got to start doing for them. And C.S. Lewis said it. Love sees through its own enchantment, but is not disenchanted. You can understand the components of love so that it's not a mystery. But when your heart is filled with sense of blessing and love for someone that you've been married with, you know, 46 years, you not only thank the Lord for that person, but you thank God that He's made us male and female. And it's the world doesn't seem to think there are sparks after you've been married, I don't know, very long at all. But I'll tell you, love continues on. I won't speak for all the people that have been married 50 years or more, but we've got people here, you know, married 50 years or more. But I'll say that love continues on after you've been married 46 years, because that is our experience. And there are times when it's not easy to love. It's a decision. There's times when we need all the power God has got in order to be kind, especially if some very fruity, witty thought comes to mind. And it's so easy to be unkind. But as we, with the power of the Holy Spirit, treat each other, not just in our marriages, in the church, with these same kind of things. You know, people in the church, they're going to irritate you more than just the pastor. Other people are going to irritate you. We love each other because Christ loved us.